Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when your childhood home is actually more crowded than it seems?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, it is. And if you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. There's two ways. You can leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Or just write it in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And there's another option, too, if you want to be a premium subscriber. And with that, there's no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the complete archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. My sister Kathy Gordon's actually here in my house today.
I am here, and it is a beautiful fall day today.
Well, kind of. You know, we're having this.
What do you mean, kinda?
Fall, but it's really like summer. It's been like summer temperatures. Like it's in the 90s still.
Yeah, but
like,
today it's only supposed to be 82. I can go for that.
That's true.
I'm going to use my 70 stuff. I can dig that. I'm pulling out 70s.
Because yesterday Kathy goes, that was out of sight. And I'm like, this is stupid. No.
This far out. And then last night, just out of the blue, and this came out of me. I didn't mean to, because sometimes I do it just to get Carol going. I'll go far out, you know.
Stop.
And Carol's like, yesterday, but that's really neat.
We were in this little downtown.
Oh, that was neat.
It was a little neato town. And Kathy's like, oh, isn't that neat? I'm like, shut up with
you.
And you were, but what was neat about it?
Oh, there you go.
See, I circled back.
Yeah.
Intentions. But anyway, so we go to this concert last night. We were talking about it in the last episode, but we went to this concert. And so when we leave, it's in this little town in Kansas, Kingman, Kansas. And we're walking back to our car. Main Street is empty. There's some people hanging out in front of the theater hoping to meet the artist, but it's just empty.
Yeah.
So we're walking over and I'm like, that is the coolest old building ever. And we're stopped and we're looking at it. And I'm like, it's as if it's the original fire department and maybe city offices or something. Cause it looks like it has office buildings and it's got some
like
kind of
turret on the top. Yeah.
There's two of those. And so we drive around the building and sure enough, city offices, fire department. So on our drive home, cause it's about 45 miles away, on our drive home, Kathy Googles it and it was the original fire department built in 1880. And it was the fire department, city offices, and jail.
Yeah.
All in one building.
And at one point.
Haunted AF. It has to be so haunted.
Well, and at one point we were driving by it and I said, stop. You know, there's a sign on it. I want to go read it. So I got out of the car and I walked up to it and it didn't have too much information. Just said it was on the National Register and then it listed mayors or something. I was hoping it'd have a little bit of history on there. But while I was standing there, you could feel it.
Oh, yeah.
It was super haunted. I was like, oh, this is really creepy.
And now they use that as their museum. Uh-huh. So I want to go over there sometime and tour the museum. Uh-huh. And then just casually ask, is this place haunted AF? Because I'm picking up on shit.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those just being outside the building.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody drives by the buildings where you look at them and go, haunted, mm-hmm. not haunted.
The other one in that town as we drove by it was the library, the old Carnegie Library. I think, what did we say? It was built in 1913?
19, somewhere right in there.
And it really looked haunted too. Vivid apparition I ever saw was in a Carnegie Library
mm-hmm.
in Elma, Nebraska. Little girl. And so... they're real creepy.
Yeah, it was just so interesting because that building is so haunted. But it's a Kingman, Kansas a historical museum, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and if you're ever just driving on, is it 54?
54 Highway.
You know, the southern Kansas. Stop in Kingman, have some lunch, drive around the town, go into the little museum. You know, they have shows in there. Old theater that they've redone now for...
which I also think is probably haunted.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. But it's a fun place. We recommend.
It
Kingman,
was fun.
Kansas, people.
So here is our first story, and it says, I grew up just outside of Detroit, where the landscape is full of abandoned buildings and houses. Sometimes it's tough to tell if a place is still in use or not. The suburbs, especially the downriver area, aren't much different. I actually grew up in a haunted neighborhood. My grandparents moved into our house when my mom was six back in 1971. No one died there, and it had only been owned by two guys before us. It started as a one-story house, but a second story was added on later. Now, my mom's sister and I are all sensitive to the paranormal, and I'm an empath. When my mom was a kid, she had a dog named Bootsy, who was incredibly protective of her. Once my grandpa got attacked by Bootsy for spanking her. Every night, Bootsy would walk through the house checking on everyone, and you could hear his claws tapping on the tile floor in the family room. Even after he passed, my mom and uncle would still hear his claws tapping as if he were still making his rounds. As they got older, my uncle, who always found trouble, started going to concerts. Meanwhile, my mom was busy with school and work. One day she got home, sat in the recliner, and saw her brother out of the corner of her eye, and when she looked over, he was gone. She asked my mom where he was, and she said he was at a concert. Later, when they picked him up, he was wearing the exact same outfit my mom had seen him in earlier. They found out later that during that concert, a drunk guy had almost gutted my uncle with a knife right around the time she'd seen him. So it must have just been the guy pulling a knife on him, but he didn't go to the hospital because they would have had to pick him up at the hospital.
Picked him up from the concert, yeah. Right?
But there was an altercation.
Yeah.
Could have been seriously injured. My sister and I also grew up in that house. And by this time, my grandparents were divorced and my mom never stayed with our dads because they were abusive. My mom worked a lot to pay the bills, so we were left alone with our abusive grandmother who needed care because she was disabled. I've always been terrified of ghosts, and watching shows like Real Scary Stories didn't help. I was always fascinated by lights, though, and I remember seeing them in strange places as a kid. Once I was staring at the wall, and when my sister asked what I was looking at, I said, the lights, even though there weren't any on that wall. I also refused to go upstairs alone because I always felt this sense of dread, like I had to look over my shoulder in the family room. I carried that feeling the whole time we lived there, but just dealt with it as I got older. Sometimes I'd hear my name being called when no one was around, and I'd hear whispers in my ear, especially when I was playing outside. My sister and I also had horrible nightmares that were way too gruesome for kids our age. Our family fought more than usual, and everyone was always in a bad mood. We spent as much time away from the house as we could because we felt happier whenever we left. I also had a huge fear of shower curtains because I thought something might pop out while I was in the shower. It's funny, we've heard a lot of shower curtain stories later.
I don't think that is uncommon.
And we've had a lot of them lately, it seems like. So I refused to shower for years and only took baths. One day while I was in the bath, I saw a shadowy blur pass in front of me and it left a scratch on my right knee, right by my birthmark. I also remember seeing a cloud of smoke float through my grandma's bedroom. She never left her chair and she never smoked in a room, plus there were no fans on that would have blown smoke in there. And what's more, the smoke went through the wall, which was even weirder. As much as ghosts terrify me, that didn't scare me, it fascinated me. I slept in my grandma's room most of the time because I was afraid of the second floor. One night, while looking out of her open door, I saw what looked like a floating head drift by. It was glowing, but not in a way that lit up the room, and it was kind of bouncing along quickly, so I didn't get many details. Another time, I woke my grandma up because I felt like lobsters were pinching my legs, and on another night, I told her it felt like people were watching me. Then the movie Spirited Away came out. For those who don't know, it's an anime about a girl who enters the spirit world to save her parents. The movie starts with shadowy figures and ghostly creatures, but later on, it shows more whimsical spirits. That movie helped ease my fear of ghosts by showing me that not all spirits are evil. So if any listeners have kids scared of ghosts, I highly recommend that movie. Anyway, the story's getting long, so I'll stop here for now, and I'll write in later with part two, Keep Up the Great Work. That's from Emily.
Okay.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Though what bothers me about all of this as well is that even aside from the ghosts, it was a very unhappy childhood. And mom wasn't around. Grandma's abusive. Dads are abusive. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure money was tight because mom's trying to support everybody. And it's just, it's sad.
Well, and that's why while I was listening to this, I'm thinking we have a combination. We have a sensitive child and has grown into a sensitive young woman. I'm assuming young woman now. I don't know. And sister too, I think. But I think what we're seeing is there are some sensitivities to paranormal activity that happens around, but I also think some of it is trauma reaction.
Mm.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think the bad dreams could just be trauma related.
Oh, I do too.
You know,
100%.
Because I really do believe that dreams there's many reasons, but one of them is for us to process trauma, right? And it helps us, we subconsciously sort out and go through things in dreams. I think it's to help us.
Yeah.
I really do. Even though sometimes it makes us confront pretty scary stuff, right? I think it's a way that we can kind of, you know, approach difficult conversations that would be maybe a little bit too hard for us to consciously have. So I as I was listening to this, I kind of thought, because both girls are having these bad dreams, that could just be reactions to a very tense life, right?
Absolutely.
So
100%.
I think a few of these. Now, do I think that she also saw other things? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the smoky cloud thing, I think definitely would be something. I think that something was pinching her legs or touching her. I think that could be... She did mention the dread of going upstairs by herself. You know, I had that.
Yeah, and apparently everybody in the house felt the house was haunted. That was not
right.
A secret.
And so I think there are things that were going on paranormal.
And that's what makes me feel so bad for Emily, because when we were kids, it was very similar. Our parents were in this horrific relationship. They shouldn't be in a relationship. Our mom was...
They should have never been together. No.
And it was just... He's drinking. She's going off the deep end. Nobody's, you know, picking up slack for the kids. And we live in a haunted house at the same time. And
yeah.
So I think sometimes that negative energy can stir shit up within the house. And why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
it?
You know, energy feeds off energy. And what is a ghost? It's energy is what it is. And so if you've got negative energy... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally do.
So I feel bad for Emily, and I hope that Emily finds peace in a normal house.
She did say one thing I thought about. The very first thing she says is, we lived in a haunted neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Not a haunted house.
But a haunted neighborhood. So everybody knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Well, thank you so much for writing that story in. And we've got another story here. I have not listened to this, so I hope it's good.
Hi, my name is Brittany, and I'm calling from Tennessee. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with you. I will never forget this happening to me growing up. I was sleeping on the couch one night. I just decided to sleep in there. And the way the couch was set up is that where my head was, I could see through like three bay windows, and I couldn't sleep. So I was just laying there, and then I saw something move at the window. So I looked, and it was the center window, and I looked, and all of a sudden there was this figure. And at first it was just like a shadow figure thing, and it wasn't moving. And then all of a sudden it changed to where it was kind of like a face. But it didn't look like a normal face. And it just stared at me. It just stood there and stared at me. And I remember I was so scared. I couldn't move. I could not get my legs to move so I could get up and run to my parents. And I don't know how long I ended up laying there staring at this thing, because it was staring straight back at me, not moving. And finally, I got the courage to get up, where I finally... my legs to move, and I ran into my parents' room, and I told them there's something outside. It was at the center window. It was staring at me. And so my dad quickly went outside, and obviously, you know, of course there was nothing. There wasn't any footprints or anything messed, because there was a garden right there. Nothing had been messed with. And to this day, you know, they tried to say, well, maybe you were dreaming. And I know without a doubt, I was fully awake and something was there. Something was staring at me. And thank God it never happened again. But it was probably one of the most scared events of my life because I could not move and it was awful. But thank you again for letting me share my story. And I love listening to you guys. Bye.
Thank you very much for that story. What do you think? Was it her imagination? Did she really see it?
No, I think she really saw something.
I do too.
I find it interesting when we hear these stories of these super intense experiences. Then did it not happen again? Was it just this weird isolated one? So you know what I go with? Alien. Alien standing outside the window.
Oh.
It just happened one time.
There's just that one alien out running around.
It's not a haunted house.
Because to me, it always is weird if there's just a one-off haunting.
Weird face.
Like, there's just this one haunting and nothing ever else happens.
Remember those pictures of aliens that they did in the
60s? They had
60s
the buggity
with
eyes.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if that's the face she saw. We should ask her. You know, it's like strange to me it would happen once and not happen again. Or you wouldn't sense something around you at least more. I think it really happened. I think something was standing there staring at her. Now, she said it was outside the window, not in the house.
Yeah.
So, see, I don't think the house is haunted at all. I don't think there's something in there.
So what's worse?
Something's outside.
What's worse? A ghost, an apparition staring at you outside through the window, an alien staring at you. Serial killer.
Oh, serial killer.
Yeah.
I'm serial killer. What about you?
I don't like the alien. But I don't like serial killers at all. And just by saying that makes me seem like I kind of like serial killers.
Like,
I don't.
Well, some of them are so bad.
I mean, you know, yeah. My friends did go to church with BTK and he was pretty normal at church. which is really weird because they did like him.
They did.
They really did. But it was very hard for her and her kids. Like, anyways. Yeah, serial killer number one. So then, alien or ghost, which would you prefer? I'd prefer ghost.
Mm.
I mean, unless it's a demonic ghost. Like, what are the personalities?
Well, exactly.
Like,
now we're getting into specifics, right? Then it's
know.
Like, well, you know. I don't know, but I mean, it's as if something was staring at her just wanting to analyze her.
Yeah.
That's what almost makes me think it's some other kind of weirdly, you know?
And it is weird because it's like normally haunting things in a house, you're going to have more than one thing happen. You know, and maybe it was a haunted property and they couldn't get in the house. I don't know. But the whole thing is just, and she knows what she saw. She was awake. You know if you're awake or
now,
you were sleeping.
There are, did she, oh, she's from Tennessee. You know, we have had the weird outside spirits, the rake kind of things that people talk about, the tall, willowy, shadowy, you know, beings that are outside.
There's all kinds of cryptids and stuff.
In the woods, you know. And so maybe something along that line.
But I'm going to go with her, you know, but I also get why other people are like, you are obviously sleeping.
Bad dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get why people do that because it's an easier answer.
You know, but you know,
then you don't
thing.
Have to address the alien outside the window.
I always assume that people are truthful with us because we have to go from that,
yeah.
Right? That when they write in, they're telling us how they truly feel about something. And I think Brittany truly felt this. She says, I was awake.
Now, I'm going to, full disclosure, I have come across some stories that I'm like, you're just trying
right,
to get us to read this story that you made up.
But the ones that you have sorted out and you put on, I have to start from the premise that you're telling me the truth.
Absolutely.
Your truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess if you just want to write in a story that you just made all up or whatever, I hope it's really good and scary and we all get a good scare out of it, you know. But I feel like Brittany knows her truth in this story.
Agreed. I agree with that. So let's do one more story. It says, I live in a, and thank you for calling that in, Brittany. I appreciate it. Says, I live in a small city in California, not too far from Bakersfield. My first day of high school was actually in summer school, a few weeks before the regular school year started. I wanted to get ahead on credits before everyone else, so I signed up early. That is a good kid. Mm-hmm. Like, look at that. That kid's going places. On the first day, I thought I'd be smart to get to school super early just to make sure I wouldn't be late or get lost. I showed up at 6:50 a.m., even though school didn't start until 7:30. I just love this kid. I don't even know why I got there that early. No one else was around, but the gates were open because the teachers were arriving to get their stuff ready for class. As a freshman, I didn't really know my way around, so I wandered in the school for a few minutes trying to find my class. Eventually, I found it all the way in the back of the school. After that, I realized there was a restroom nearby and I really needed to go, so I headed in there, and like most people, I went straight for the big handicap stall. Do you do that?
No, I usually leave it in case somebody does need it, unless it's the only one available, yeah. Then, you know.
Although when I have had my hip replacement, I have needed it at first. Okay. Before I did my business, I glanced around to make sure no one else was in there. The place was completely empty. I do get that. I'm always kind of aware of my surroundings.
Sure. Good idea.
But thanks. But then the moment I shut the stall door, I heard all of the toilets flush at once, including mine. I froze for a second, trying to stay calm, telling myself it was nothing. But then I heard the bathroom door slam. I tried to open the stall door, but something or someone was pushing it closed, keeping me trapped inside, and that's when the panic really hit. I yanked at the door with all my strength until I finally managed to pry it open. I bolted out of there, running as fast as I could. Later that day, I told my friends what had happened, and they didn't believe me, of course. They laughed and called me crazy, saying it was all in my head. When I told my parents, they tried to give me a logical explanation, something about a janitor maybe being in the restroom or a plumbing issue, but none of that made sense. Why would all the toilets flush at the same time, and why was I trapped in the stall with no one else in sight? I'm a junior now, and I've never gone to school that early again. After I told a few more people about what had happened, some of my friends mentioned that there had been a few deaths at the school over the years, and that definitely creeped me out. So what do you think really happened? All the toilets flushing at once. I'm assuming it's a school, so there could have been five or six stalls. All of them flushing at once is not a plumbing issue. You have to hit the...
I would think so. Like, I'm trying to think in my head, if we have any plumbing people, maintenance people out there listening, and you can think of a reason that all the toilets would flush at the same time, please write us and let us know or call. What that would be, why that would be the case. I have nothing. I got nothing on a whole row of toilets.
No, flushing. And then the weird thing is that would be weird enough, all of them flushing. And maybe it could be, you know, the button ones that, I don't know, that are kind of automated. Maybe they are all in sync.
Maybe they can.
But then that's weird enough. But then when you go to get out, you can't get the stall door open. Mm-hmm. That would cause me to panic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the door slammed. All the things. There was more than just one thing. There was three things that happened.
We oddly have a lot of school bathroom stories.
A lot of school stories, mm-hmm. too.
But we have them specifically mm-hmm. in the bathroom.
And a lot of bathroom stories. You know, people cleaning an office building and went into the bathroom and then somebody walked in. And
somebody couldn't get out, or they saw somebody come out of a stall that was impossible.
That just put something in my head. Like what if, you know, I die and I come back and I'm the one who fucking haunts the bathroom?
Oh, come on.
Can I just leave the bathroom?
Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
It's like I don't want to do this. Why am I attached to this bathroom?
You guys, I don't want to die in a stupid way. I there's a lot, let me die in some sort of noble way, right? But don't let me die in some dumb way where they go, oh yeah, she's the idiot that pulled the refrigerator over on top of herself, you know, or something.
Well, she was on the toilet.
Yeah, you know, because then everybody's like, oh, you know, she was so stupid. I mean, we want to be sad that she died, but she was so dumb, you know.
Well, because it's like Elvis, you know, That's the only thing I remember about his death is that he was on the toilet.
Well, that's so sad.
And there's something else that happened.
And he lived this huge, great life and did all these great things, right? But I'm always just, please don't let me die in a stupid way, you know? But, and then like to have to be in the bathroom for the rest of your life.
See, I think she was in a school and all that was all paranormal stuff that happened. And then during the day, there's so much activity in the school. She's not going to have that experience again. And she's not picking up on that. But when nobody's in the school, weird shit happens.
That's pretty much always the way that happens. I mean, we will have, not too long ago, we had a teacher that said that they were in an elementary school. And the little boy came running out of the bathroom so scared. I don't even think he got his pants pulled all the way back up. And, you know, so... we hear these bathroom things in schools. Yeah, it's weird.
And I just think a lot of schools are haunted. And maybe it's Mean Girls, you know, because
maybe.
I don't know. That was a Mean Girl sort of haunting.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. I just thought that was crazy. And I definitely think that was paranormal. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in if you want, realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.